So you've made some money, and you've lived probably in 2, 3, maybe 4 houses. Every house that you've ever lived in, it just hasn't felt right. Usually it's because there's not enough elbow room. Maybe it's because the kids are getting bigger. Maybe it's because you have to work at a desk in your bedroom. Maybe there's a little funky smell because the house is 47 years old and there's some leaky oil somewhere or something. And you just feel like, you know, damn it, I'm 40-something, 50-something, and I've worked hard, made a lot of dough, and I just don't have a place that I love, that I'm not happy. Well, for a lot of people, that means thinking about their homes. And for a lot of people in America in the last 12, 15 years, that's meant thinking about new homes in large-scale developments, homes that are often 2 to 3, 4 times as big as the 2,400 square feet that is the standard typical American home. Typical American home has 3 or 4 bedrooms. The typical homes we're talking about have got 5 or 6 bedrooms. Typically, there are 10, 12 rooms in a very nice suburban home. Here, there are often 14, 15, 18 rooms in these homes. You know, they've had a lot of pejorative names given to these homes. They're called McMansions. They're called mega houses. They're called, I call them bloat burgers sometimes. But the truth is, what they really are they are homes that you can move in and forget about for 20 years. They are new and they are large, and they basically use space as a functional lubricant. Instead of thinking about how you would make your space fit your activities, you buy enough space that you can have any number of activities in that house, and they can evolve and change and adapt and grow. And it's very easy, you know, it's very easy, just like when you're looking at an SUV, say, do you really need a car that big? To look at a house and say, why do you need a house that big? Well, it is a free market economy. And people that buy these houses pay for them. And they pay the property taxes and the heating and cooling bills for them. They also pay the utility bills that come at terrible times of economic stress like here. And also when the property taxes go up, they pay them increasing. And as you can tell by the sound of the cars, and the fact there's only been one car since I started here, and actually that's a student driver, these are typically end-of-the-road cul-de-sac communities. They are the model of security. They are the model not only of physical security, but of financial security. They are intended to protect the biggest investment and protect you against the biggest risk of a large mortgage you can have. And I'm here with Lee Whiteman today, and we're talking about larger homes, luxury homes as a segment of the market, a much maligned segment that in a looming potential housing recession, people are afraid of. And Lee, tell me what people are thinking about now, today, in this potentially down market about homes like the ones we're standing around.
They see them as an insurance policy because our world has changed. 10 years ago, you didn't have the Institute of Luxury Home Marketing. Mm. You didn't have a specialized field, somebody who was a specialist in luxury home. And this is across the whole country, this gated community, the exclusivity, I can have it, I never could have it before. So right now, people are still seeing this as a desirable thing to strive for. We don't know. We don't have a crystal ball to see what fuel costs are going to do to people thinking I've got to heat all of this. I think that that's something for us to watch. But right now, people still want to fulfill their dream, and they can do it.
Well, you know, the last couple of weeks in this ongoing series that Bruce has created, we've actually seen homes that are ancient and therefore incredibly present in your life because they have this incredible, overwhelming almost quality of history and past and discovery of what actually went on over the centuries this house has been there.
They have names.
And then we went to contemporary homes, modern homes, where you can almost see the genius of the designer and the extreme eccentricity of the site and this amazing fusion of really the control of man over architecture, man and woman over architecture. And here you have both of those mantles, the mantle of history and the mantle of design control, they are really far less important. What really is important here is getting the house, the place you live, getting that house out of your mind so you can live your life. I would almost call a luxury home, Lee, can I get me wrong, a peace of mind house.
Right. It's a fulfillment house. I've always wanted a media room. I've always wanted a place to store my wine. And maybe 15 years before, you didn't have but one bottle of wine a week. But now there's collections. Now there's a place to play games. There's a place to entertain. So there's a butler's pantry. And so that fulfillment of desire is what happens. And it goes beyond the rooms. It goes into the materials.
Yeah, right.
So it's not just any plumbing fixture won't do. Kohler's fine. Toto is better. And there is that, the thing that's impressed me with people who are very, very committed to getting a luxury home, they know the names. And it's not just a granite countertop. It's a particular type of granite from a particular place in India. And that is very, very special. And that's unique to this market.
Well, those are all the upsides. But as an architect, let's take a walk down this sort of street here. As you think about these homes, the real risk when homes get this large is they become out of control and they become ungainly. They become blobs, basically. The ones that work visually, the ones that maintain their value, I think, aesthetically, are the ones that pick their spots. And in a home this large, there's got to be a central focal element. And really, let's face it, for 95% of homes in America, that central focal feature is the entry. So what you often have is a home right here to our right is basically a two-story recess in the home with a kind of standard door, but a not standard window above it. And over to our left, we've got a similar arrangement. We've got a recessed entry and a projecting dormer that comes out from it. And if you can get that singular focus, that's when these homes work. But if you are into buying one of these, if you say, you know, I'm tired of having to make do, I want to have the risk and I want to have the enjoyment of making this happen, what I would strongly suggest is don't look at the house in isolation. You've got to see how these homes are situated, where they sit on the site. They're large enough that if the builder has made a miscalculation and the rear haunches of this baby are kicking out of the landscape by a story and a half, run away. If, on the other hand, this large house has been backed up against the backside of a hill, run away. These homes are truly manor homes. They need earth around them. They need space to function. They need to have enough openness around them that the inherent depth of the rooms that can make the interior of the house dark, that depth can have enough foreground without a lot of natural topography around it that light can stream into these houses and defeat that overwhelming potential sense of darkness that can happen in these homes.
The other thing that is very important in looking at a luxury home is there has to be as much attention paid to the landscape. The walkways must be superior. The plantings. Now, we're looking at, what would you call that, 12 little foundation plantings?
Yeah.
Does not work.
Yeah.
It does not work. There has to be as much attention paid to the plan of the outside and how it marries to the house on the lot. Otherwise, it just feels incomplete, because it is.
Yeah. I mean, those little perimeter plantings are a metaphor to me for what the real downside of these homes would be. Because for each one of those isolated little plants, you could say, well, there might be an isolated little room in the inside of the house. You've got to actually be, you know, one of the things about being a person is that you realize at some point in your life, you've got to be proud of who you are, or you're going to live your life in misery. If you're going to buy a home, a luxury home, it's got to be proud of the fact that it's a luxury home. And therefore, the landscape's got to be in scale with it. But more, when you walk through these homes, you think about buying them, does it feel like these rooms are comfortable together? Or does it feel like rooms have been chainsawed out of a ranch, a cape, a colonial, and just glued together, stacked one after the other after the other, so you feel like it's essentially you're walking through a menu of spaces versus an invention of a home whose ceilings are high enough, whose windows are big enough, the hallways are broad enough, there's light at the end of the corridor, the stairway actually unifies the house versus is sort of, you know, hiding in the corner because it's a standard builder stair. Be proud of the fact that you want to be proud and live in a home like this. If you have qualms about it, or you're ashamed about it, or you want to say, yeah, but, don't even go to the luxury market. There's nothing wrong in America with owning a Range Rover, and there's nothing wrong with owning a luxury home if that's what's going to make you happy for 20 years or 30 years of living your life without your home looking over your shoulder and saying, yeah, but.
Duo Dickinson is the contributing writer in home design for Money Magazine, and Lee Whiteman is a realtor in Guilford, Connecticut.